Sorry.
Done and broke.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
We're running a little late on May 1st.
Other's candidate, our own.
We have a call to order here. We have Councilman Smiley, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Bell, Councilman Weiner's in the room, Councilman Cartier, myself, Joe Retta, MIA, Chrissy Roberts.
Motion to approve the minutes of April 3rd.
Second.
Minutes approved. Okay, we had to suspend the last meeting with Carl for an update because we're running a little late, so we just had it today. And Carl, if you'd like to get started, let me just do a little dress up as you're sitting down. Councilwoman Dohler is not here, Councilman Hollins, and Council President Kovac, Councilman Powers is out of town, and Councilman Street, Councilman Tackett are all absent.
Okay.
You.
Carl Kalbacher, Director of Economic Development, thank you for the invitation to speak to you today and give you an update on our fiscal year 2012 economic development activities. Here with me is my assistant, Steve Giroux. We constitute the Office of Economic Development. We think of ourselves as 1.5 people, according to the county executive. Stu, as he goes, does other duties in the executive office, so whenever I have the opportunity to use him, I do. But I think you'll find that for the limited resources that we have, we pack a pretty good punch. And today what I'd like to do is go over really 10 items for you today that are listed there, and we'll provide more detail. But it runs the gambit from our economic development program that you're very familiar with, the Sowing Seed, Growing Jobs program, of which County Executive Clark came up with that term as being an agriculture major at UD. To transportation and energy efficiency and renewable energy initiatives, seeking out funding, federal grants, providing grants, community economic development grants, continuing our marketing of Newcastle County to the tri-state region, and our ongoing committee work with business organizations and regulatory agencies in the county and state. Stu. So I thought I'd begin by sharing with you what we perceive our mission to be. We certainly welcome your feedback and suggestions on what we should be doing. We believe our role is to assist businesses and nonprofits to create and retain jobs. We do that by working with our friends at the Delaware Economic Development Office and other economic development organizations to recruit businesses. We frequently work with organizations like the CIRC, the Chambers of Commerce, commercial and industrial realtors, and other organizations like the Committee of 100 to provide information on Newcastle County and business prospects. We spend a fair amount of time seeking both state and federal grant funds, and we'll share more information with you on that. We also spend a lot of time working with DENREC because, as you know, what DENREC does has a direct impact on the business community, and so staying on top of what they're proposing or what they're implementing is, I think, helpful to Newcastle County and to our businesses. We focus our marketing with our limited resources to the tri-state region, and we manage some financial incentive programs that we'll describe. I'm going to take a few slides here to give you an update on our Sowing Seed, Growing Jobs program, starting off with our Community Economic Development Grant program. That's a program that Council approved funding for earlier this year. It provides for $50,000 in funding to be distributed to applicants with a maximum of $15,000 per award. Per your guidance, we've limited awards to a maximum of one per council district, so we'll hopefully get at least three awards of $15,000 in three council districts. The applicants are required to provide a 50% match, which is in-kind services or cash or other, and they have to meet reasonable thresholds for what their in-kind services are. So they're not going to be providing us an hourly rate of $250 an hour, but something reasonable. We are off the ground with this program. We had a public meeting last Friday. We've invited nonprofits, homeowners associations to let them know of the opportunity, civic associations. We've noticed local governments, and we have that advertising out on Channel 22, NCCTV. We public noticed in the News Journal, and of course we have it on our website. We think we're going to get excellent applications, and as we promised you, we will bring those applications to you and share with you those applications and then make a decision to move forward. These are this grant has a two-year cycle to it, meaning they'll have 2 years to expend the funds. There's a requirement for semi-annual reporting so that we know that they're on track and they're spending the money wisely. We will be working closely with the winners to help them through the process. We're not going to disengage. And you all have received at your desk the application as well as the request for the grant notice. And if you go through that application, you'll note that the kinds of questions and information we're asking for, I hope, will convince you or reflect to you that we're asking applicants to really think through what they want to do to make sure that their project is not only able to be completed within 2 years, but that it is sustainable beyond the grant period, meaning we want to do what County Executive Clark has suggested in the program. We want to sow seeds. So we want this project and these grants to go on beyond that two-year period, that they'll sustain themselves. And hopefully folks will be coming back to you saying this is a good program and we want to keep it going. So it's a project that has just gotten off the ground. The applications are due June 29th, and so probably in July we'll be coming back to you and giving you a rundown of who applied and what they're applying for.
Question.
Carl, you want to take some questions now?
Sir.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Can you describe generally initial interest, preliminary interest?
Yes, Councilman. We have received interest from the YWCA. They run a jobs training center in Newark. We have received interest from the Claymont area, Edgemore Community Center. We have received interest from Hokesson. We've received interest from the Coin Loft, which is a incubator in the city of Wilmington. There is a whole myriad of nonprofits that are very interested. We have not heard yet from our municipalities, but we're hopeful that the small municipalities will take interest in this opportunity. At your advice, we excluded the large municipalities because they have their own economic development funding programs, and so we really wanted to reach out. We've also talked with small communities like St. George's, North St. George's, where we see an opportunity there. So we're hopeful that there'll be a whole bunch of folks coming out.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Okay, so the next program that I want to share with you is one that we're very pleased to report. You've been hearing about it, and I'm sure you've been wondering, when in the heck are we going to get started? Well, we are getting started. This is the Route 913 Economic Development Plan. We received word about 2 weeks ago from our congressional delegation that the EDA funding is secured. We're awaiting the check to come but we're prepared to have a public announcement this Thursday, May 3rd, 11:30 at Wilmington University. We will have Senator Carper there, County Executive Clark, a representative from Wilmington University, and an EDA Philadelphia official present. We're going to receive $41,000 in federal funds. That, along with over $50,000 of other funds, including $40,000 that Newcastle County has contributed, DRBA $5,000, DITO $5,000, City of Newcastle $1,500, and the Historic Newcastle Alliance $200. They're a 501c6 Main Street affiliated program. This project, it will study the area shaded in purple, if you will, from the Wilmington border south, encompassing all of the City of Newcastle, as well as the Newcastle County Airport. We are prepared to issue an RFP in the next couple of weeks to hire a consultant to work with a stakeholder group to then develop the economic development plan that will lead us in the direction towards, hopefully, economic improvement in this area that has higher than average unemployment, higher than average poverty rate, lower graduation rates, higher than average vacancy rates. And yet there are some real gems there, like the historic area of Newcastle that also is in need of investment to sustain some of these shops that are so quaint in this historic area. And again, I want to just thank the council members who represent this district who have actively been involved, Councilman Bell, Hollins, Street, and Councilman Smiley as well. We also are heavily involved in the Sowing Seeds Buy From Your Neighbor program. This is a program where you may recall we had a contractor working for us on that program. We took that program back and have significantly expanded that program to include many more restaurants, many more farmers. So we're connecting local farmers with restaurants. We're working to expand our farmers markets. We recognize that there was a little bit of an upset there with communication locally on our farmers markets, and we promised to do better to make sure that we outreach to our local council representatives. We are developing a video of our local manufacturers and artisans. That's the expansion of the Buy From Your Neighbor program. And if you go on the Newcastle County website, you will see a new website, buyfromyourneighbor.org, which again is trying to encourage more local investment and keeping money locally. You all are familiar with the partial property tax exemption, so I'm not going to belabor that point. We appreciate you passing that ordinance. We are ready to go. We have an exemption application form that's been developed with our Department of Finance and the assessment section that I guess will soon move over to finance. And so we're ready to go. With regard to economic development, one of the real keys to economic development is getting people and goods to move from one place to the other. And from here on in, what you'll see is representation of these projects relative to council districts. And our hope is that we've captured just about every council district where we're doing economic development, starting with District 5, which is Councilwoman Diller's district. You recall that TIGER, which means Transportation Investment Generated Economic Recovery, that's what TIGER means, is a federal grant program. Newark Train Station won the TIGER 2 grant, a $5 million grant with a cost match. We provided a small match for TIGER 2 to get to a 30% design to expand the train station to accommodate MARC train service and freight service expansion. TIGER 4 is a similar opportunity. It's a $26 million initiative, of which $14 million will come from local funding, including $3 million from the University of Delaware, $250,000 from Newark, Newcastle County, as you can see, is a small contributor at $25,000. DelDOT is contributing $14 million towards that project in order to get $10 million from the feds to expand that train station to finish that construction.
Mr. Chair? Question?
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. This is good news. I've been following this issue through NACO and through my involvement there. Of course, you and I have met in Cecil County on the BRAC project. Was there a proposal to move the train station in Newark to the Chrysler site? Is that still the master plan, or is it to enlarge it where it is?
The best answer I can give you is that there was a request at one point to move this train station to what's called a cement plant. And that cement plant was off of Route 72.
Right.
That's land that's owned by DelDOT. Many of the local representatives encouraged DelDOT to keep the site where it is, so the site will expand at the existing footprint.
Good. Well, that's where you have the walkable, compact communities living, so that makes sense. As far as the time schedule now for connecting Mark to SEPTA via Newark, Elkton, and Perryville, are we still looking at a 10-year time horizon?
We are, and that time horizon can be expedited by the expansion of this train station. Mark system needs to have a layover site, and so service would start at Newark heading south, and so this expansion will allow for layover. It'll allow for separation of freight and commuter rail because there's limited rail traffic, rail capacity in that area.
So as far as this integrating the SEPTA and the MARC line, would people have to switch trains in Newark, or could you go all the way through from Philly to Washington, D.C., for example, on a local commuter train?
Well, you'll have to switch trains, but yes, you can do that. And it's the same setup that SEPTA has with New Jersey Transit. So SEPTA goes from Newark to Trenton, and then from Trenton you take New Jersey Transit further north. It's the same thing here. You'll get off at MARC, and then you'll join SEPTA, or you'll do the bike.
You'll get off at Newark to get offer on SEPTA or MARC.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Good, thank you.
Okay, so we are also involved in other initiatives. WMAPCO, which is the Metropolitan Planning Organization for this area, is seeking community and business feedback on reuse of the currently shuttered Newport train station to provide SEPTA train service. We serve on that committee. You've heard a lot about the Port of Wilmington and the RFP. There's other things going on at the Port of Wilmington that are very positive. I think it depends on your perspective what is positive, but this one is a Tiger IV grant where they're seeking $20 million in Tiger IV funding to expand and repair berths 5 and 6 to allow for greater import-export of South American fruits and to provide other bulk transfer of materials. They would put in $20 million of a $35 million project. So we are supportive of their initiative. We've written a letter of support. We also routinely have meetings at the Port of Wilmington on other rail initiatives. And last but not least, we continue to coordinate with the BRAC and the Maryland representatives. We hold routine meetings with Maryland representatives. We have to keep engaged if we want to bring MARC sooner to the Newark area.
Carl, are you done with your list? I don't want to interrupt.
No. It's,
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Thank you. On transportation, one thing that Councilman Cartier, I'm sure, is curious about as well as I am, the Claymont train station. I mean, we talk about, you know, we've made there's been a significant private investment up there as far as those, you know, the Commonwealth, you know, putting in the walkable communities. You have the library right there. We have a train station up in Claymont that is the only train station north of Wilmington that services that whole North Wilmington area. Any I mean, have you been in any discussions about, you know, the kind of making that station not a beautiful Taj Mahal, but safe, accessible, and maybe even handicap accessible? Have you had any of those discussions?
Councilman, that's an excellent question, and I know Councilman Cartier and Councilman Weiner have been very engaged with this subject. We've had multiple conversations with the DelDOT secretary, imploring them to make the investments. One of the things that we were told that needed to be done before anything got started was to do a NEPA study, a National Environmental Policy Act study, to determine if there is a need to do, if there's any environmental resources that could be impacted from further expansion of that site. That needs to be funded, and so we've asked DelDOT to do that. And I think we need to make a stronger concerted effort to reach out to DelDOT to make it a priority, because you're exactly right. The train station is oversubscribed. It's a success story, and it needs to grow. It needs to grow because that's going to result in what you just talked about, people wanting to live and work in that area.
I appreciate that. And, you know, the transportation-based redevelopment is, as you know, very critically important from the rest of the things on your list. I'll talk to you more about this offline, but let me know how I can help, because I know the DENREC actually had an environmental study done of that area, of the surrounding areas, because most of the surrounding areas were Claymont Steel. I had some environmental documents that DENREC, the past air and waste director, had shared that showed that land around there was studied and available for expansion. I mean, I think Councilman, he's not even here to say this, but Councilman Street's rubbing off on me. I mean, we've heard this kind of same excuses and delay before. One was room for expansion, then this, then that. It's not us, but let's see what we can do to get this done.
Yeah.
Because it just keeps getting kicked down the road. And, you know, as you well know, economic development in large part, is, especially in certain areas, is dependent on transportation. So whatever we can do, don't hesitate. Whatever I can do, don't hesitate to get in touch with me.
Appreciate it. And we'll take you up on that.
Okay, the previous questions asked was by Council President Kovac, who's joined us. Councilman Weiner.
Yes. Piggybacking on Council President's comments, and I'm sure Councilman Cartier's as well, the multimodal transportation opportunities with the parcel adjacent to the Claymont SEPTA train station are multifaceted. There's a deep water port from when barges used to deliver to Claymont Steel. There's, of course, the train station, the opportunity for access and egress at multi-locations exists, there's community support for a mixed-use, medium-rise, residential commercial office site that envelops the train station, much like we've seen at Ardmore, or Councilman Cartier and I went and visited Pasadena when we were on a smart growth tour. It could be the drivers, economic drivers, could be the 911, the safety missions that the fire companies have for the river can provide funding. The hydrofoil riverboat service for Camden and Trenton and Philadelphia, the airport, Wilmington, Claymont, and to the beach places are available. Much accessible and less costly. And then, of course, for people who would like to live in a river community with their boats, they could have that, as well as literally fall out of their bedrooms into a train station. The train station in Pasadena actually travels right through the village, and the trains are so silent you can't even hear them. We saw that when we went on the best practices tour.
Councilman Cartier.
You know, just to add one more piece of information, we have an idealized community endorsed a plan for the train station enhancement that WMAPCO developed.
Yes.
As a concept plan, and you know, all these pieces are out there. We just got to figure out, you know, the funding streams and the grant making that we need to make it, you know, eventually get realized.
May I just offer a thought? You know, the the way that transportation gets funded in the state is obviously there is a planning organization, WMAPCO, but that then rolls up, as Councilman Kilpatrick knows, to the bond bill. And so maybe there's an opportunity in this year to have a discussion with our friends in the legislature to see if there might be an opportunity to start that funding for that project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One other economic driver, there's so many, would be the extension of, and completion of Phase 3 of Fox Point State Park from its current northern point to the Clamont train station. Thus, we can kick off ecotourism so that folks could arrive by train with bicycles only and get on a network of greenways and visit our state and stay in bed and breakfast and never have to have the need for cars. There are a lot of jurisdictions that are taking advantage of this opportunity. And with the governor's commitment to greenways, you won't see all $18 million, but you know, a certain portion of that will certainly enhance what we have already. And, you know, Wilmington and other train stations as well. So, you know, this is a concept we can't let die. We've got to continue to tout it as an economic development driver.
Councilman, I will take that up. That's a DENREC-funded initiative, so I'll reach out to DENREC.
Thank you.
Phase 3. Okay, transitioning, another program that we're involved with that you may have heard a little bit about just before this meeting. We are involved with our departments of special services and multiple departments on the Smart Energy Program. The centerpiece of that program is the $3.8 million federal conservation block grant that we received from DOE. That, along with $4 million of bond funding, results in a $7.8 million project to update 20 county buildings with energy efficient systems, as well as solar projects on two buildings. That project's pretty much done. We'll be done by the end of this summer. Our role in the Office of Economic Development is to write the grant, to prepare the quarterly reports, to manage the Department of Energy annual audits of what we're doing, and to do contract management. So our role is not to engage directly with vendors who are doing the work. That's the special services role and responsibility, and I know they do it well. But we get involved in the contractual and the financial. And of course, as a result of this, there's a significant energy savings, and those energy cost savings are translated to paying the debt service, and that results in more money being saved annually and jobs being created. We're also involved with energy procurement, again working with other departments. We've negotiated a three-year power purchase agreement for about half our load. Our current electric rate as of June 2012, or next month, will be 6.6 cents a kilowatt hour, which is a phenomenal rate. Very, very cheap electricity, and we've secured that for 3 years. So our rate is already low now, but we're even going lower, and we'll save $203,000 over the next 3 years starting in June. We'll also continue to market our Qualified Energy Conservation Bond program that you all approved late last year.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chair.
Councilman Cardi.
Who are we going to be purchasing electric from?
The company is called Reliant. They're essentially a subsidiary of NRG.
Okay.
That was a procurement, professional services, and we had multiple vendors.
Council President.
Thank you. Following up on that, is that from a particular source that Reliant is selling that? Like, does they install, you know, solar panels? I mean, we had the picture of the solar panels up there. Is that... Did they do a solar panel install on some facility, or are they just another company?
They're just we didn't ask for where the energy came from, nor did we require that there be renewables part of that package. The price would have gone up.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. Okay, continuing on, you've heard us talk a little bit about the Army Creek site. As you know, that's a former federal Superfund site that has been closed for many years. It's now in an operation and maintenance phase. Newcastle County's responsibility is to monitor the groundwater quality. The Army Creek trustees manage the cap maintenance, that's mowing the lawn and making sure that there isn't significant subsidence and just leveling the land. We think this is an excellent site for a large-scale solar farm. We've contracted with two firms. Conestoga Rovers Associates is a geotech firm that has been charged with figuring out whether or not the cap of the landfill can hold the weight of a solar panel. We've done those studies. The report should be out this month. We will share those results with you. The sum of it all is that the solar panels on a ballast tray type of setup where you have trays and you put rocks on top of the solar panel structure so that they don't fly off during heavy winds. Those systems are stable, they're not heavy, and they will not cause subsidence. So we're using that information to support a RFP to a third party who would then lease the property from us and pay us for the lease rent.
Councilor Smiley.
A 66-acre solar panel site, and we use rocks to hold things down?
Yes. The reason, Councilman Smiley, if I may, is what we don't want to do with a landfill is in any way penetrate the cap. When you penetrate the cap, it creates a problem.
I just would have thought there's clips or something in the trays. Just,
yeah, it's
I mean, I realized there was a pet rock market.
It's a very elegant and simple concept. You weigh them down so that winds up to 80, 90 miles per hour will not result in that system flying off. They are connected.
Let's just put the county debt on them. That'll hold it down. They won't go anywhere. They don't need rocks. Okay, I just...
I always ask this question, and I'll just continue to ask it. Are we absolutely sure that this isn't going to be able to supply a harvestable source of methane gas? I mean...
Yes, we're certain that it will not.
The reason
is that there are gas beds that are on all landfills, as Councilman Sheldon knows well, at Cherry Island. That's an active landfill that has a significant amount of natural gas. This is a very, very old landfill that operated in the 60s and has been closed since, you know, the 70s.
Right.
Whatever natural gas was there is gone, and whatever has consolidated and compacted has done so.
Right.
So we've done studies to show the amount of subsidence over time. It's very minuscule. This is a very stable site now.
Peaks after 20 years, John and Goose.
You know, we're putting these solar panels on a lot of buildings, and according to one of the slides, you had $203,000 we'll save in 3 years. What is going to be our cost to get rid of these panels when they go bad? And because they do have cadmium in them, and cadmium is a volatile pollutant, and it causes a lot of different diseases, especially cancer. Is that $203,000, are we going to be able to, are we going to have to put that in the bank so we can pay it out again? Or are we going to have somebody that's going to take charge of that and get to where they're going to be responsible? Because out in California, they're having a problem now.
Well, Councilman, the federal and state laws for hazardous waste disposal are such that there are landfills that are specifically approved for hazardous waste disposal. And the generator, if you will, that is would be the county in this case, would be a de minimis generator. We wouldn't be held liable for that waste going to a federally approved landfill. I understand your concern. Back in the 70s, when we didn't do things right, Army Creek Landfill, where you had industrial and domestic waste going in an unlined landfill, basically a borrow pit, which is closer to the water table, you create these Superfund sites. But these are highly regulated sites that will not result in our liability. There is a cost for disposal, as you've indicated. I would venture to say, though, that that cost is not going to be that significant. I may be wrong. But the $203,000 is strictly electric savings on a procurement. So.
Well, the other is, see, there are cells out there that are that don't have any cadmium in them, and they cost more. Yeah. They haven't been able to hold the electric as well as the cadmium has. Now, they have, at one time they were only 15%, now they're up to about 35%. They are making strides to it, but they haven't made them well enough that the cadmium does.
One thing that we'll annotate is that, obviously, we need to come back to you on this project because it's still in its early stages, but we'll come back to you with the draft RFP to gather your thoughts on how that disposal could be part of that RFP process. And again, this is a third-party lease that we're suggesting. We also have a financial consultant that's looking at what would be the value that we could receive from lease of this property for solar. We also are working with the state on the Delaware New Jobs Infrastructure Fund. Again, we work in many council districts. The one that we have supported and endorsed, which is a requirement of the grant program at the state level, is the Newcastle Town Center. That one is located in Council District 12. That's a $4 million request to improve the roads around that borrow pit that you're familiar with. It's across from Bunny Junction. That will benefit.
You want to change that 12 to a 7?
Is it a 7?
I hope so. All the work I put in.
It is a 7th. It is the 7th. That's correct.
When they start complaining, I'll give it to 12, but right now I'll keep it.
That is the 7th district. You're correct. 12 is Councilman Bell. That one will help Newcastle County because we're the owners of the Newcastle County Airport, and there's a significant opportunity for economic development adjacent to the Newcastle Town Center. We also have written a letter of endorsement for the Delaware Academy of Sciences, the Iron Hill Museum expansion. They have, as you know, a 99-year lease on 19 acres of county-owned land next to the Iron Hill Park, and they want to build a expanded educational center. We've been in discussions with the Fashion Design Center, which, of course, is near the Christiana Mall. We're yet to have an application submitted by them. We've given them guidance. And we worked with the Odessa Fire Company. They came to you the other day for a approval for a bond issuance. They also sought funding for the infrastructure fund, which was not ruled eligible. While we're not doing all this other stuff, people call us on a daily basis about business expansion opportunities. Some of these, you'll note, are ones that we lost, but it's important that you know we're out there competing, if you will. We did compete for the Amazon project. We were looking at a site in south of Newcastle. Middletown offered them quite a nice sweetener, and they chose, to, obviously, Middletown. We congratulate Middletown. Berkeley Technology Services, of course, is in Councilman Cartier's district. They bought a building in the Bellevue Corporate Center, 101 Bellevue Parkway. They're a software development database company, and we helped them through their minor plan and a building permit program and a parking plan. They have insufficient parking at that facility. Bloom Energy, you saw the paper today. We again were in competition with our friends in Newark. We didn't win that one. There's quite a lot of incentives offered at the Chrysler site. It's hard to beat a sweet offer like that, but we'll continue to try.
Councilor Smiley.
Carl, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I've been hearing it. I meant to ask Mr. Milwicki, I wasn't sure. The Bloom Energy is going on the Chrysler site. University of Delaware bought the Chrysler site, which took it off the tax rolls. They're leasing this portion of the property to Bloom Energy. Bloom Energy being a for-profit, do you know if that returns it to the property tax rolls?
Councilman, I sure as heck hope so. because it's our responsibility to make that decision.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt that there isn't some type of waiver for the University of Delaware, but I'm just curious because to me that just makes sense. All right, I'll follow up.
Councilman, let me just say that the there are many instances when they are taxable. The Courtyard Marriott is taxable. Mm-hmm. There are other for-profit institutions on the University of Delaware that are taxable, and I'm hopeful that this one would be taxable.
I would be too.
Okay. And I think Newark will hope that it's taxable too, because they are the ones who get the lion's share of property tax.
Well, for one thing, Councilor Smiley, their University of Delaware is in partners with Blooms in this project.
Still a for-profit company.
I know, but they're in partners, so now that makes them part owner of the project.
Let's hope that we get us some taxes from it. I think that's the right thing to do.
I just didn't know if you knew or not.
It's really with our assessment division. So it's a good question to ask. Twinco Romax in Council District 1. This is a new site. It's located in the First State Industrial Park, 30 jobs. They're doing a tenant fit out as we speak. This is a product fulfillment company. They bring in chemicals used in the automotive industry, like window washer fluid, brake degreasers, things of that nature. They basically are a packaging plant. They'll bottle it, package it, and ship it off. And they're going to retrofit that facility. And they're receiving a small grant from the state. PBF, you all gave them a 5-year property tax exemption. They've been highly successful. There's a $1 billion hydrocracker project, which will create 2,000 construction jobs. We're hopeful that they'll locate in Delaware City, and that is also one that we would pursue an infrastructure grant to expand sanitary sewer to that area that does not have sanitary sewer.
Councilor Cardiac?
Yes, Carl. The $1 billion capital project, is that contingent upon them going public?
I do not believe so.
They are attempting to go public, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I this has been in the works for a while. It's a question of where they're going to do the construction, whether it's overseas or whether it's local. And I know that the state is having some high-level discussions with regard to what type of labor will be used on that project.
And just to revisit the idea that the site does not have a tie with Newcastle County sanitary sewer?
Correct. That entire Delaware City complex does not have sanitary sewer. And one of the things that I would hope that we have a discussion about is at some point, we have the coastal zone. We have to discuss that. We have to have serious discussions about how we're dealing with this coastal zone, because it's not working. You know, if you go north of the canal, it's not working. And we don't have sewer there. It's zoned appropriately. It's got infrastructure, roads, highways. It has port access. But if you drive down there, I don't need to convince you. You know for yourself what's going on down there, and there's not much. Citrusuco in the Port of Wilmington, we gave them a recovery zone bond, but guess what? When it has high tide, they're underwater. They can't get to their building. So we're looking to get an EDA grant to raise up that land, because they literally have to drive in these 4x4 elevated trucks to get to work. Yes, sir.
That's high tide when
it's Councilor Smiley.
When there's been storms and whatever, right?
It's when there's an alignment.
Right.
Yeah.
Moon tide.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Many a late night I've been down there in boots driving cars out of knee-deep water years ago. So that thing, it flooded before they came in there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess maybe the landlord didn't disclose properly. Yeah, that's been an ongoing issue with where it is. But, yeah.
I mean, we need to do something about it. We want to keep this company here, and they've made an investment. Do they make more investments, or do they say, look, you guys aren't helping us out? We're trying to help them out. We're trying to get an EDA grant for them.
Councilman Weiner?
Thank you. Councilman Smiley's comment just made me think about an article in the paper today. I think it's in Councilman Smiley's district, the Fort Delaware and that whole waterfront, RFPO, Councilman Bell's district. And I see that's a state RFP and there's lots of interest. Is your office involved in that in any way, or what can you tell us about that?
Well, I can tell you that we were not involved, and yet I think Councilman Bell knows very clearly that that land is currently in the unincorporated area of Newcastle County. And yet there was a strong suggestion that that land would be annexed. I just have to question why somebody would suggest such a thing without consultation with Newcastle County.
We'll need to keep an eye on that.
That land is, so you know, is 100% in the floodplain.
Yeah.
It is zoned appropriately suburban reserve because it's a level 3 state strategies policy area. So it's not designated for funding for infrastructure, and yet there is an RFP out to do exactly that. There's hazardous waste sites there. There are some other troubling areas there. That's worthy of discussion with regard to, what's going on between the state and the county.
Yes, they should be communicating with us. Sorry.
That, I read that article this morning also, and that was going to be one of my questions after the presentation, I guess in a little different context. Understanding now that it is unincorporated, although it is state land, do we draw, if they were to develop that, do we draw the tax from that?
If they were to develop it for a for-profit business that remains in the unincorporated area, we would draw property tax, building permits and fees, and real estate transfer tax. If the property is annexed, then all of those things, with the exception of a small percentage of the county portion of property tax in incorporated areas, would be lost.
Okay, because this goes to a discussion in my district with the preserve that's going to be developed in York Lynn. Obviously, understanding that the way this is structured under the master plan, they would never ever get it through county. We don't have, the UDC can't take what they're doing and process it. So through the epilogue language, this whole master plan area is right under the auspices of the state. There's nothing that the county has to do with it. The county executive and I had this conversation last night about whether that economic development portion of that property will draw county taxes for us. You know, when does that state oversight and holding go away? I mean, is it after construction, or, you know, because it is unincorporated, but it's under, it's like blue ball. I mean, you know, when they couldn't fit that in and get it through the county, and I don't know if I fear or if I see that the same thing could happen down at Fort Delaware. And again, this, I believe, goes back to our land use department, that we just cannot be flexible enough to work with all of these different entities and the innovation that they want to come out of some of these places. I mean, you know, York Lynn, the state, as the trust was written, when NVF went under, it was going to fall to the state. But they saw that NVF was beginning to sell off, or wanted to sell off, the good parts of it. So then ultimately what was going to fall to us was going to be the junk, the non-developable, just, you know, the crap areas. So is this going to be the same thing that we might be looking at down at Fort Delaware? And I think that I personally don't have a big problem with them taking it out of the county hands if it could not be developed under the county, because I think that some development and cleaning up of that area is definitely needed. But I would like to know in the end if there's economic development there, that we ultimately will get some tax from them.
It's a very good question, Councilwoman, and let me just suggest to you that you know, both the MVF site is significantly in the floodplain, lots of the
right,
land.
Right.
And what land that isn't in the 100-year floodplain, it has steep slopes. So
correct,
it's just part of that Piedmont geology where it just rolls and it
right,
makes it very difficult. I think we need to have a discussion with Dave Culver, because I think he has some insights on this issue. It's not as easy as I think we think it is. For example, the state now has control of the MBF site. Fine. Who issues the building permits?
Well, they do not need to come to the county. My understanding is they do not need to come to the county for building permits. However, it is written within the epilogue language that they have to follow, you know, like, the building code, the international building code, that kind of thing, right. So that they have some quality.
But who's inspecting it? Who's approving
the state,
it? The county
is not inspecting it.
Right. Well, but who is? And the state doesn't have that infrastructure in place for that.
Right. And I understand that.
We get some contracted.
Yeah. We just need to have a conversation.
Councilman Weiner?
Yes. NGA, National Governors Association, Council of State Governments, National Association of Counties, owns its own 501c3 nonprofit arm. I cycled off after 7 years on the board, the Institute for Building Technology and Safety. Its singular purpose is situations such as this. For example, they work with military bases that are concerned about, you know, getting brackified and then having to be code compliant with local municipalities and counties. That's why IBTS comes in, and they are a licensed partner with Newcastle County, and they come in and they will make sure that it's code compliant, working with the state and the county, because we own IBTS.
But I think that as a county, we are missing opportunities here, because we can't be flexible. Our code does not allow us to be that flexible. I mean, we wouldn't be where we were. We wouldn't have done it with Blue Ball. We would not have done it with York Lynn had the county been able to step up and do something thinking out of the box.
Yeah. May I just respond? Yeah. Because I this does venture into General Manager Culver, and he has
right.
Much
and Dave and I have
expertise.
Had conversations about this.
But yeah. You know, my limited view of both these sites are again. It's not because we're restricting. If you look at the Fort DuPont, the entire site is in the 100-year floodplain. Now, that's a federal FEMA thing. We've intentionally, and all jurisdictions that are part of the FEMA program, have restrictions on how to develop on those properties. I mean, you've got to elevate above one foot above the 100-year
right.
line. So I would suggest that whether it's Delaware City or Newcastle County, I think we can be inventive, but what I think we did responsibly is when they said you're a level 3 state spending strategy area, we appropriately zoned it SR. We're doing the right thing. We're in compliance with what the state suggests land use policy should be. But yet there is an RFP that suggests differently. That suggests to me a discussion.
Yes.
Councilman Cartier?
This issue for me boils down to political preemption and lack of respect, period. This county can be flexible. We can do things, you know. And I think there's just this lack of willingness to engage us. And I don't know exactly why that is, but, you know, it is.
But we pulled Blue Ball out in the middle because it wasn't working. It started under the county, and they were never going to get through the permitting and the Board of Adjustments they would have to be in the Board of Adjustment continually, and they just pulled it out and said, it's ours now, and we'll...
Blue Ball.
Yeah. I, of course, like Janet, I went through the whole Blue Ball process, and I also have had conversations with Dave Culver. He does have some insight, now that we've adopted the 2012 comp plan, how we can actually accommodate these sorts of economic development opportunities and not be left on the sideline.
Councilman Cartier?
I would also suggest this issue that you're talking about of an old site developed on a floodplain pertains all over Newcastle County itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, how are we going to recycle sites that are already, you know, being used for new purposes, and how do we deal with this issue? I think we have, to my recollection, 4,000 structures in the floodplain in Newcastle County. So, you know, do we want to simply say, you know, write off any of these sites for future development, or do we want to develop a means by which, you know, they can be reused and recycled, you know?
And the code, I think, provides for that, especially the redevelopment. I know it's an interesting conflicting kind of a program, but the redevelopment code of the UDC does provide for reuse of existing structures, and MVF could have done that. My vivid recollection was that went through the epilogue language at, you know, at the end of the session.
Two in the morning.
We didn't have any information on that. I mean, we had lengthy conversations with DENREC about the bankruptcy, about them paying us back for the sewer bills, about who ownership issues, and then all of a sudden, at 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody decided that they didn't need Newcastle County overseeing the permits and building plans.
But
you ask for what you get, you're going to get it.
I know, but I can tell you that the epilogue language was talked about well in advance of the bond bill hearing that went on late at night. That was written 2 months at least in advance. So the fact that they didn't let it out was one thing, but you know, it was written.
It was an accident. Inadvertent.
Okay.
But I think that we just need to, I guess the other example is Amazon. I mean, they went to Middletown and they're on their way, and how long do we fool around with these people before they get frustrated and understand that we're going to take 2 to 3 times the length of someplace else, and then we end up, I mean, all our concern is the tax base. I mean, we want the jobs, we want all that. Our people get jobs, no matter whether it's in the town of Middletown or in Wilmington or in the unincorporated. Where we lose out is in the permitting fees and all of those fees that go with something like NVF, and we end up losing out on the tax base when it goes to an incorporated area.
Well, and if I may respond, it's a very important, I want to be clear on Amazon. Middletown did a great job. Middletown's making an investment. And the reason they do it isn't, you know, because they have other resources, and here are the resources. They sell water,
right.
They sell sewer, they sell electricity. Now that's where they make up where they give up, and what they gave up was 10 years of property taxes. Now, we don't have those other resources, so when we come responsibly to you and say, I have a company, and I want to bring them in. Well, how much are you want to give up? Well, how much are you going to get in property taxes? And you look at it, and the numbers are negative, then that may not be a responsible thing for us to do. So Middletown is wisely investing because they have other resources that they can do that with. We also competed with them, and we brought special services and land use, and I can tell you that we were going to move the site very quickly. And we were going to extend sewer to a site that was outside the sewer district, that was zoned appropriately. Middletown offered a better sweetener, and that's okay. That's why we're going to win some, we're going to lose some. That's why I think I agree with Councilman Bell, as an aside, let's get ourselves ready. Let's make sure we've got land ready to go. I'm fully 100% behind that, and I'm glad that it was added to the comp plan, because I need that for economic development.
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Weiner?
Yes. In connection with my work, my law firm, and also as a board member of nonprofits, there are metrics that would enable you to empirically measure your batting average. Is that something that you've thought about implementing, just to empirically evaluate your efforts? You're familiar with it, I'm sure.
Well, sure. I mean, I Councilman, not to, you know,
and you have a smaller shop, so it's not the same thing.
The problem is, and I'm not at all complaining, but
yes.
There just isn't the funding for that type of measurement. I mean, if I'm not suggesting there should be.
Mm-hmm.
We do a good job. We do it with what we have,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think it would be a service to you or to anyone to try to measure based upon very, very limited funding. Right. I think what we can measure. Mm-hmm. Is the partial property tax exemption. How mm-hmm. many people are we going to take up on that?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a way we can measure the grants that we're going to offer. I think we can measure the success of the EDA grant coming forward. Those things I think we can measure. But mm-hmm. in terms of these jobs, what I'm reflecting to you today is we're in the game. We're helping out. Sometimes we'll come to you and ask for some support financially. Oftentimes we're not going to
mm-hmm.
because, quite frankly, it's not in any of our interests with regard to the taxpayer dollars to do that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, we'll continue.
Hologic is a company located in District 11, across from, essentially behind Siemens. This is a mammography x-ray detection company, very high-tech. They are seeking a minor plan approval to expand, which will create 16 and 18 new jobs and keep the current workforce at 142. We put on a full court press to convince the company to stay here and to expand, and in fact, that's what they're doing. There are some companies that we routinely get calls from DITO to provide information on infrastructure, on permitting. Two above provide you some insight into a biopharma and a food processing facility. Those are still in play. We work with the Department of Agriculture and DITO. There's a company that wants to establish a wood pellet manufacturing facility where they take scrap wood from clearing of developments and other types of land areas and pelletize that into fuel. I talked with Councilman Weiner about a new company coming in Council District 2, Northwestern Mutual. There'll be a ribbon cutting later this month.
Are they retrofitting existing structure?
Likely a tenant fit out.
And where is the location?
Behind the Macaroni Grill. It's I think it's Right Way.
Right Way. Louis Capano Shopping Center.
We continue to reach out. State Farm was looking to bring a claim center here. We worked with them in Council District 5 in the Delaware Industrial Park. Foxfire Printing has expanded with equipment purchase, but was also looking at a building acquisition in a wellhead protection area, and we helped them through that process. Moving on, Hollow Point Brewery is a microbrew that's seeking information on zoning and permitting requirements to locate their brewery. We advise them of zoning districts that they would be allowed to operate in. Comcast is looking to expand their fiber network business. The largest steel corporation in the United States, Nucor Steel, is seeking to expand into Newcastle County. The next one, TMD, is a microwave radar company that does work for military and commercial projects. That one we lost. We lost to Maryland. They found a facility in Maryland that met their needs in Baltimore County. But I can tell you they were very impressed with our proposal. And I'd like to share with you that we don't win them all, but we're in there slugging it out, trying to get every one of them. You'll be pleased to know there's a yogurt company coming to Newcastle County, Sweet Frog Frozen Yogurt out of Richmond will be in a commercial establishment coming your way. Several of them are coming to this area. They've been talking with us. We even reach out to the orthodontists, and Alpine and Raffetto is seeking to expand from their one shop to multiple shops. They wanted to know, where do they want to go? What is the demographics of where they should be located? And we provided that information to them for placement. We're also getting close on the acquisition of the 20-acre donation from PBF. We've been working with Councilman Bell. This is part of the 5-year property tax exemption that they agreed to give us a 20-acre donation. This could be used for a solar farm lease. It might be land that we could transfer park land from one place to another. And it also could be used for other purposes. It's zoned commercial regional. Other sites we routinely get inquiries from are those in Delaware City that you know are abandoned. OxyChem is abandoned. Air Products is abandoned. AkzoNobel is heavily underutilized. There are many of these sites that are out there that we call brownfields.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Speaking of brownfields, on the Delaware River, Sunoco and the neighbor, obviously it straddles the state line. the news I read today didn't seem to be good news. It seemed like the company was going to buy Sunoco and take it apart and not be in the oil refinery business, which leaves us with a brownfield that eventually will lose its one-year status. Look into your crystal ball. What do you see as the future there?
Well, most of Sunoco's in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
That which is in Newcastle County, I would just suggest to you, it will fall the way that General Chemical fell. And General Chemical is right on the line as well.
Yes.
It's under record corrective action, and it's been under record corrective action for the last 20 years.
It's people have looked at it, and the environmental issues, cost-benefit analysis, they've walked away.
There's a need to take a look at the Coastal Zone Act to provide some opportunities for reuse of property.
Councilor Cartier?
You can only imagine the frustration that, you know, people feel. We have old industrial sites, Delaware City, up in my council district. All the infrastructure's in place. It's got a lot of things going for it. But then we have, you know, the old legacy issues and pollution and then the time clock of the Coastal Zone Act. So instead of having an incentivization scheme that we go back and reuse old sites, you know, we continue to consume greenfield. I mean, this is all, you know, part of this whole problem that we have. So,
well, if I just may comment, again, Councilman General Manager Culver is integral to economic development, as are many other general managers. But if you look at the zoning map in the coastal zone, many of those properties are zoned HI. But according to the Coastal Zone Act, they may not be used for HI. So who's going to budge?
We're going to be able to develop it along with coal-fired plants.
Milford Fertilizer is a contaminated site north of Middletown. We're working with an engineering firm to reuse that site. Hawker Beechcraft is a maintenance facility that opened up at the Newcastle County Airport. We also work with local jurisdictions on other federal grants that we do not directly participate in, but this goes to our community grant program. We have lots of small towns and cities that do not have economic development agencies, and so when the opportunity presents itself, we will work in their stead to work directly with that local government to help them. So Newcastle City has put in for an NEA grant to develop plays in the town's historic area, and we were the ones who facilitated that grant and wrote the grant for those folks, because we had the capacity to do so. Newcastle City is seeking to expand the dock. We're also providing information to Newcastle City on where they can receive funding for the dock expansion. We're working in Council District 2 and 8 to support ING Capital One's investment in the Claymont area. They would like to make critical financial investments, both debt and equity investments in that area to revitalize that area as part of their CRA credits. And we also worked with Councilman Hollins to provide him demographic information on the Canaan Baptist Church expansion. With regard to marketing, we do quite a bit of marketing. You're familiar with our propaganda, if you will. We try to provide information early and often. We're at many events touting what Newcastle County is all about. Go on, Stu. We also are heavily involved in our website and marketing. Our website is routinely kept updated by Stu, and we're on those new types of things called Facebook, Twitter. We create videos, and we routinely have those videos on NCCTV. We are also heavily involved with many committees and associations. Those are the committees that I am a member of. Stu is a member of the DLDOT Transit Advisory Committee, but all the other ones, I represent the county on those committees. Note, WilMapCo, $100,000. They funded $100,000 of the 2012 comp plan. Pretty good. What do we want to do in the future? We want to complete the Route 913 economic development study and develop funding for strategic projects in that area. We want to see if that works, that we want to expand that program to other areas of the county. We will continue to apply for those acronyms of federal agencies. DENREC will be coming out with a regional greenhouse gas initiative grants this year. We are working with our departments in county government to apply for REGI grants. We hope to come back to you on solar projects at Army Creek and PBF. We want to work to expand our hybrid and diesel fleet. We will continue to work with the Department of Energy, of which they are very favorably disposed to the work we've already done, and they want us to be involved in an initiative called the Better Buildings Challenge, which we'll advise you of shortly if it's something that the county executive wishes to go forward on as well. Last but not least, we do want to engage with you on the Delaware City area, the area north of the C&D Canal to the Delaware line, quite frankly, the Delaware PA line. This is an area that has some deficiencies with regard to sewer. We want to engage with expansion of rail in Newark, Newport, and Claymont, and welcome your feedback. And last, but we will continue our marketing, website, trade events, and we would like to put out another lifestyle business guide. I think that concludes the presentation.
Councilman Carrier?
Really interesting, thoughtful discussion, and a lot of amazing problems and opportunities. The one area that I'd just like to bring to attention, you know, we have the Eagle One Federal Credit Union, which is locating their corporate headquarters in Claymont on a site on the Philadelphia Pike. They're moving from the existing site. They purchased land from the fire company, which helped out the fire company tremendously, and now they're going to build a new building. So who presents to them the fact that they qualify for the property tax relief, partial assessment relief?
It's a very simple process, Councilman. It starts with the assessment department section, and they will say your taxes are going up and you're eligible for a property tax exemption. Here's a one-page form. Fill it out, and we will act on it immediately.
Does the land use department initiate that process, or is it your department? Or
it will be finance, I believe, because finance. Assessment is going to be under finance. And so we've had meetings with them to create the form, to work through the structure and the timing. That's why the legislation was structured in a way that they had upfront time to get it started, and that at the end of the three-year period, there was some downtime so that they started that next fiscal year in 2015 fresh.
Because I think they're going to probably end up building a, you know, $300,000 facility, you know, with all the improvements on the land and so forth. So just interested to hear that, you know, there is a process that they can engage to get that relief.
And we should report back to the success of that program.
Councilwoman?
Just one quick question. Understanding that in Sussex County, a while back, that they had a court case where DENREC wanted to tell the county what they could or could not build near, I think it was an inland bay, and DENREC lost the court case, saying that the zoning went back to the county, not the state. How does that affect us in what you were talking about with the Coastal Zone Act and the zoning categories?
I wish I could answer that question. I just know that the uses are limited. I understand your question. I don't know the details of it. I think that's worthy of looking into it. And again, we have had discussions, so I mean, I'm not trying to break new ground here. DENREC recognizes that the Coastal Zone Act needs to be changed, and we need to have an honest discussion with all the stakeholders to make that happen. We really do.
Because
it really should be maybe started here.
Because the court definitely said zoning goes back to the counties. The state does not have the ability to tell the counties how to zone an area, which was a big blow for DENREC.
Yeah, it was, but it hasn't extended to the Coastal Zone Act yet. Maybe it will. I just don't know.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think what we're all seeing, and I think that the creation of the Economic Development Committee, I think, came from Councilwoman Kilpatrick, didn't it? Very, very significant, very important committee. There's so much involved here that touches every one of the districts, and I, for one, want to thank Carl for coming down to Delaware, or actually North St. George's. We historic overlay, very nice, quaint town. It's right on the canal, and it's underdeveloped. Mm-hmm. And you've got business folks there that we met with, and Carl went over everything, and since that time has worked with DelDOT on signage and other things. And so there's folks out there, and there's business opportunities out there. We've just got to come together, recognize, and work with folks. And you know, your office is extremely important. I think that in the future we've got to really take a serious look at getting you some help to get some of these things done. Mm-hmm. The one question I had, I'm a little confused on, is where does Terry Riley fit in all this?
Sure.
Because you know, she was brought on board, $106,000. Where does that portion of it fit into what you're doing?
Councilman, and she should probably best respond to that.
Okay.
I'll just share with you that.
good answer. Huh?
I try not to respond for others.
Okay.
But I will say what you hear from me, mm-hmm, is when a prospect comes in, we'll try to set the stage. We'll, if there's a land use question, we'll, you know, look into zoning. We'll look into what are applicable uses. We may do a zoning verification with our Department of Land Use. But when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of a major plan development or a minor plan development or possibly moving into needs for variances, that's where I see Terry's role being directly on Mark. Where I will step back, it'll be more of a nuts
and bolts. And I guess my point is this, that I think these type of discussions, that if she's going to really be a key player in this process, she needs to be here. I mean, that's my feeling, and I'm not afraid to say it, because I think that if we're going to invest money in someone that has the ability or knowledge to assist with the process, then they need to take part in it. And you're doing an outstanding job, and I really mean that. I've been in a lot of meetings in the 12th District, whether it's chemicals or the towns and different things, and I think you and your office do a great job at limited resources, but there's so much to be done here. And once again, I can't begin to say how important I think that the development of this committee in the future really is. I mean, this is a big.
Okay, anything else? Anything on the other? Anything from the public?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Carl.
So what's going to happen there? The old